This is Jim Inkster. Coming today on the show, we'll talk about Senate Bill 469, Robert Adley's measure that cleared the legislature, that nullifies a lawsuit by New Orleans Area Levy Board against the oil and gas industry. What are the implications? Legal eagles say that this could impair the state's ability to snag money from BP on other fronts. Governor Jindal's legal advisors say go forward with it, and the governor seems inclined to do so. We'll talk with the man who heads the Green Army, General Russell Honoré. We're also slated, things go according to plan, to hear from State Senator Robert Adley. And, of course, today is also the 70th anniversary of D-Day. Both General Honoré and Senator Adley are military veterans, and we'll hear from Nicholas Carrioc, who was in France on that day in 1944. Now the news on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge, and we're joined at the start of our show by State Senator Robert Adley, who will be followed a bit later by the man who heads the Green Army, General Russell Honoré, and it's appropriate that we talk to them because of the issue at hand, but also both of these gentlemen served with distinction in the U.S. Armed Forces in wartime. Senator Adley was a Marine who served in Vietnam, and we commend you for your service, and I'm sure you, like all of us, appreciate the contributions and sacrifices that were made by the generation before you and me, the people who were at Normandy on this day 70 years ago.
Yes, we do, gentlemen, and I thank you. I would tell you that public's not even probably aware of it, that in the Senate each year, much to our regret, we have one day each year we call Military Family Day, where we recognize those families that have lost their loved ones who have paid the ultimate price for this country on the floor of the Senate. We learned a long time ago a good soldier fights not because he hates what's in front of him, because he loves what is behind him, and we should do no less for those left behind.
Well, in Baton Rouge, you're known as a fighter, and you fought the good fight, and you won the legislative battle with Senate Bill 469. This was something that was a major priority of the administration, and you were the point man. Lawmakers embraced this nullification of the lawsuit by the New Orleans Area Levy Board against 97 oil and gas companies. Why did you think this was the appropriate course of action?
Well, it's extremely bad public policy to sue people who did what they were told to do. In this state, we have an entity that regulates the industry, the Department of Natural Resources. Those companies did not violate any of their rules or regulations. By testimony from the department itself, said that had gone through and reviewed each and every one of the permits that they accused in the lawsuit had been violated, and said that they found no violations at all. To make matters worse, the lawsuit was trying to take a wrong and make it right, a wrong meaning. To get to the lawsuit, they violated a number of state laws, particularly dealing with public records and transparency by concealing provisions of their contracts with attorneys. That's a violation of law. And as an agency of the state, they were required to go through contractual review, as do all agencies of the state, that they did not do that. It became very clear, as the testimony progressed, the lawsuit was about money and not our coast. It appears that when the government gets to a point to where it can no longer tax you or pass fees on you, then the way to get money is to go sue someone. That's extremely bad policy.
297-5633, your number outside the area, 877-217-5757. Charles on North Foster, you're on the air with Senator Robert Adley. Hi, Charles.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Senator. Like you, Senator, I too served in the Marine Corps. Senator, you know that fighting men and women in America are also the same men and women who build the wealth of this nation. They're the same men and women who rally to the flag in time of crisis. Well, what I don't understand, Senator, is if you're going to represent the oil and gas industry, and you say it was a frivolous lawsuit, Senator, Why do you have such lack of faith in the justice system? If it was frivolous, why didn't you allow judges to decide this instead of politicians like yourself? Senator, I question your belief in the foundations of the Constitution.
Is that the question?
Yeah. Why not let it play out in the courts rather than shut it down legislatively?
That's an excellent question. And if you believe in the Constitution, as I do, there are three branches of government. It is the legislative branch, the administrative branch, and the judicial branch. The legislative branch is fully vested with passing laws, and everything that it does by law is constitutional unless declared unconstitutional by the courts. Hence, if the legislature did not take action when they see someone violating law, then you end up with only one branch of government running government. That's a mistake. That is always a mistake. If government is a cesspool, it is because we allow it to happen. Doing nothing does much more harm to our society than recognizing that there are need for three. The fact that we have passed this bill, making it very clear that this purview rests with the state, if someone wants to challenge that, the courts are still available to them.
They are?
I'm sorry?
Well, this particular bill, 469, your bill, you're saying it only involves the lawsuit by the Southeast Louisiana Protection Authority.
That's correct.
Yeah.
As an agency of the state, they have certain laws to follow. Those laws clearly were not followed. And if you violate law, then action is going to be taken. When they came to our committee and testified over a year ago, we tried to share that view with them, but they chose to move forward on their own. Look, everyone wants to resolve the issues of the coast, but this bill or this lawsuit became very clear to everyone was about money and money only and enriching a few people and very little to do with our coast.
Okay. Well, as you know, the Attorney General, and by the way, several other legal scholars are opining that this legislation is vague enough that it could cost the state claims, billions of dollars for environmental damages, primarily in connection with the Deepwater Horizon disaster. Now, Governor Jindal says that his legal advisors have said that the bill is tight, that it's not going to do this, but what do you think about this? Is it worth the risk?
Well, I don't believe there are any risks, and let me share with you why. Over a year ago, I had the South Louisiana Flood Protection Authority before our committee. The Coastal Protection Restoration Authority came to committee and said that they believe that the lawsuit could do harm to the BP issue. The Coastal Authority themselves said no, that couldn't happen at all. And the Attorney General, who is now issuing these opinions, said nothing. As we went through the legislative process, we spent over 3 months discussing these bills. The Attorney General was well aware of them. I talked to his office several times on this issue. They never raised that issue. In my opinion, just my opinion, this is nothing but political gamesmanship by the Attorney General and more of they're doing the best from the flood authority to present this issue however they see fit. But the truth is, when I look at the facts and I look at the testimony and I look at everything that was heard, this is nothing more than some political gamesmanship.
Rancy in Millerville. Rancy, you're on the air with Senator Adley.
Yes, hi, Senator Adley. My question was similar to Jim's last question, but I'm wondering why the opposing views weren't more thoroughly vetted, considering the Attorney General, the state highest legal authority found it too broad. Thank you.
I didn't hear all she said. Can you help me, Jim?
Well, Rancy hung up, but I think she has a different point of view about Attorney General Caldwell and his motivation. You say it's political gamesmanship. Isn't this the Attorney General's job to ferret out the legislation that might cause some problems down the line?
Well, yeah. And look, that's a great question. Let's just look at the facts together. When the contracts came to the Attorney General, entering into the lawsuit and the contracts with the attorneys, when the Attorney General found out that part of the contract was not included in what was given to him, which is a violation of law, the Attorney General simply took the position, well, now it's in court, I'm not going to do anything. If you look at the letter he sent to the governor asking for the veto, he said coulda, woulda, shoulda. He has yet to give any specifics. He's yet to take any position. He's yet to take any stand at all on this issue other than to dance. And that's what's happening today. I regret that very much, and I particularly regret it coming from a statewide elected official who, in fact, his position is to represent the state and take a stand. He's yet to do that. If you read his letters and you look at what he said, he still has not done that.
Elizabeth in New Orleans writes, state law is clear that abandoned canals and wells must be restored to their original condition as nearly as practicable. And yet we have, she writes, Don Briggs announcing that the industry will begin to work on plugging 2,800 orphaned wells throughout Louisiana. If the oil industry hasn't broken the law and letting these canals and old wells lie fallow, what has it done?
The law does not require the closing of the canals. The permits simply say back to as near as possible. Here is the problem. Once a canal is dredged in the coast, and if you move that material, that small levee that's created with the dredging, if you move that material more than once, it turns to the consistency of sugar. Hence, if you go backfill all the canals, you will wipe out the coast overnight. That is why the state of Louisiana never required them to backfill the canals. If you look at the permits, what they do require them to do is to go plug the backside of canals to stop as much invasion of water as possible. Now, the problem, Jim, is even more complicated than that. This coast that we all believe is ours actually belongs, over 80% of it is privately owned. So when Boudreaux goes down there and he's got a canal and his property is very difficult under the Constitution of the United States that gives express rights to property owners to go tell them what they're going to do with it. Now, I do want to say something about this orphan well program. It's very important for the public to note that years ago in this state, we started an orphan well program, and we assessed fees on the oil and gas industry for the cleaning up of those wells, and they have religiously paid their fees. The government, on the other hand, has gone in and swept those funds as it has other funds in state government to keep state government afloat. I can tell you they have paid what we have told them to pay. It is very critical to remember that after Katrina, when it came through this state, we passed three major reforms. The first was to dedicate all of our oil and gas revenue coming offshore to our coast. And we did that to the detriment of our universities, our hospitals, and everyone else because we believe the coast is critical. We have now put billions of dollars into the coast and putting more. Then we created the Coastal Protection Restoration Authority, and that authority has the purview over the entire coast to develop a plan. The last reform was the South Louisiana Flood Protection Authority, which was to coordinate efforts of those levee boards, not to go file suits against people who were doing what we told them to do.
We shall return to wrap it up with Senator Robert Attlee, and of course later we'll hear from General Russell Honoré, and we also will reflect on D-Day. 70 years ago today, back in 90 seconds on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number. Outside our area, please call 877-217-5757. You may reach us by email, inkstershow@wrkf.org. We're wrapping up with Senator Adley, who was the sponsor and the driving force in the Louisiana Senate and the legislature as a whole for a bill which sailed through the Capitol that nullifies a suit by the Southeast Flood Protection Authority East, Southeast Louisiana Flood Protection Authority East, against 97 oil and gas companies. HB in Denham Springs, please be brief. You're on the air with Senator Adley. Hi, HB.
Good morning, gentlemen. Senator, you were on television talking about security at the Capitol, and I phoned your office, and I know you were quite a busy man, but I never got a return call from you to discuss the issue of security at the Capitol. I'm sure the station has my number. Would you please call me? I think I could help you in that area a great deal. Thank you.
All right. Well, that's
no,
obviously on a
that
different
call. I will tell you, the bill never got out of committee, out of House committee, and it just kind of came to a standstill.
Well, is there a concern about security?
Well, yes, there is. I mean, after 9/11, everyone's having to reevaluate what they're doing, and we had some people go through with our Homeland Security folks looking at our Capitol and found a number of concerns, and we are going to have to do some things to change what we've been doing, in my view.
Okay. Andy on Goodwood writes, citizens cannot depend on government to protect them or the environment. The only thing industry fears is the courthouse. Does he have a point?
Yeah, Dave. The one thing that General Honoré and I agree on outside the defense of our country and obligation to do it is that he continually talks about the Department of Natural Resources, and we do have a democratic government here that's a republic where you send people to represent you, and then we hire people to govern. If people have followed and done what they've been told by its government, the regress is not in the courts against the people that did what they were told to do. It's against your government. And that's where the emphasis should be. If the government is not doing its job, that's where the regress belongs, not against some business guy who did what he was told to do.
All right. Jonathan Henderson asks about your association with the oil and gas industry. You've not shied away from acknowledging that you are an oil and gas person.
I am. I drilled my first well in the 1970s. I drilled over 100 of them during my career. I was part of that industry. Being part of the industry certainly doesn't prohibit me from being part of the legislature, no different than it does school teachers or anyone else. It is very, very important for the public to remember, in my view, every person who sits in that Capitol is sent there by their constituents, and their constituents make the decision about who they want to represent them, and no one else has the right to tell them no.
Well, where do you think this is going? The governor seems inclined to sign the bill, and then there's likely to be a court challenge, and perhaps BP will claim that the bill exempts them from damages. It seems like this is a process that still has several miles to go.
I don't think BP's got anywhere to move. They have no wiggle room. What BP did was in federal waters under federal law, and no law we pass in Louisiana, even if we wanted it to, could change their obligation under federal law. I think that's a non-issue. I do believe that the trial attorneys who were looking at making billions of dollars in their pockets, yes, they're going to challenge it in court. That's what they do for a living. They'll continue to do that. What I'm going to be dealing with is trying to put together the team effort that it's going to take between the federal government, the industry, the private sector, and the state government to put together plans and funds and dollars that are necessary to restore this coast of ours. Everyone knows 41% of America sits in the Mississippi River Valley, and 41% of America drains to the state of Louisiana, and that drainage has brought with it sediment and deposits for years that has kept our coast alive. There have been over 4,000 dams built up and down that valley now, prohibiting that settlement in addition to the levees that have been built. It is now time for the state, the federal government, the private sector, and energy, everyone and anyone who has been part of doing business in this state, to join hands and find ways to solve this problem.
Okay, we're going to let you go. I do want to acknowledge that in a different forum, I stated that Senator Adley had said that it was unchristian to proceed with this lawsuit against the oil and gas industry. He did not say that, and I apologize to you, Senator Adley.
Jim, thank you very, very much.
I messed up.
I know it was a passing remark, but it hit deep in my faith. I do appreciate you saying that.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Daryl Hunt writes, do you believe sea levels are rising as a result of climate disruption?
Well, obviously, the Gulf is rising. The marsh is sinking. I mean, that is something that none of us can control, even the trial attorneys. So Mother Nature is very awesome and is very difficult to deal with her. And particularly when we put those levees up, we made it much more difficult. Louisiana was actually growing before those levees. Today, Louisiana could have been the size of Texas. That's how fast we were growing with the sediment coming down the Mississippi. But now the Gulf is rising, the marsh is sinking, and we have an obligation to try to find every way we can to deal with the problem. And I can assure you, at the state level, we have passed every reform we can pass to deal with it. We do need help now from the federal government. That's going to be critical.
Well, Senator Adley, we thank you for joining us, and I'm sure this issue will reappear in some way, some fashion, and we'll call on you again.
Jim, thank you very much. We've enjoyed the visit.
Thank you,
sir.
Thank you. And sitting in studio is the man who led us back from Katrina 9 years ago and has led the Green Army to the Capitol this session and fought against the legislation that was passed by the legislature. But General Russell Honoré has been drinking in the words from Senator Robert Adley. Did he score any points with you?
Well, he sounded like a voice of calm. And first of all, I think Senator Adley is a skilled legislator. He's a magician in that Capitol. And everybody pays attention when he talked to him. He's a senior statesman. It's unfortunate we had to meet on this battlefield when we're talking about the future of our state from the perspective of the amount of pollution. We're known in Washington as the most polluted state in America. Now, the people of Louisiana who go to work every day, they didn't create that pollution. We're talking about pollution that's been created by this industry and allowed and not put in check by our state government. Our Department of Natural Resource has two missions. One of them is to promote oil and gas for the good of the economy. The other mission is to regulate oil and gas. And that is a role that the good people that do work in there, that try to do their job, they don't have the state law nor the authority to regulate this industry. And then we have a legislature body led by Senator Adley and Mr. Dove and others who supervise this, our natural resources, who are members of the oil and gas industry, who look out for the oil and gas industry. And I think a loose quote the other day from our governor was, we're trying to hold these people accountable who've done so much for us. Well, yeah, that's the way we grew up. You break what you break, you fix, and you clean up after yourself. We've got hundreds of miles of those canals. I've just given you a map with over 6,000 abandoned oil wells. We are asked to put our faith in the DNR that they will look out for the people and supervise these companies. They have not done it. They don't have the authority to do it. They don't have the people to do it. They don't have the budget to do it. They don't even have the staff to collect all the royalties. And this wetlands we're talking about, Jim, and to the people of Louisiana who are listening, most of that is owned by Big Oil. In Vermilion Parish alone, Exxon owned over 164,000 acres. They pay 50 cents an acre tax. How many people in Louisiana know that? When the real story come out, and that's the purpose of the Green Army, is to tell the other side and help fight pollution. We're about clean air, clean water, and safe land and safe food.
All right. Well, 297-5633, inkstershow@wrkf.org. Jacques asked about big oil, particularly the Exxon Mobil refinery, which I think is still the second largest in the United States, if not the world, the one right in our backyard. Do they get a break on their water bill, asks Jacques.
Yeah, I think they pay like $5 a million gallons is what the great water board in Louisiana authorized them to pay, and they suck water out of the aquifer. Look, Exxon has a deep place in the heart of this country because, as we talk about D-Day today, that place became a spot on the map because they produced a lot of the aviation fuel that was used to win the war. From that grew a whole generation of people in Baton Rouge who worked directly or indirectly for that
and
company.
And still do.
And about 5,000 people. They have used that to stand a position where you can't ever tell us we're wrong because we're Exxon. And if you say something, they take out a full-page ad and they give away a few thousand dollars to LSU, a few thousand dollars to Southern University, and send a few engineers out to do elementary school classes. That does not stop the fact that they are using aquifer water as opposed to using river water, which is putting our Southernville aquifer at risk, which was a big issue with the Green Army. We didn't get anywhere in the Capitol with that bill. Although Shell used river water, Dow used river water, and Exxon say it would cost some money to convert to river water. They made $44 billion profit last year. So they've openly said they're not going to do it, so we're going to go stand at their front gate and tell the world a $44 billion profit company refused to use the river water because it might cut into their profits. They need to modernize. That place look like junk. You pass by it, it's got a lot of rust in it. They've got to do better. They're a world-class company, and they need to invest in that plant to make it safe and to make it safer and make sure they're using river water and not aquifer water.
Well, you made your point heard, and for years, Foster Campbell was about the only one speaking on these matters, and now we have you and we have John Barry, so there are three formidable opponents to the oil and gas industry. And when I say opponents, all of you acknowledge the contributions of the oil and gas industry, but you're definitely taking aim at their pocketbook, and you're not having much success, but you're on shows like this. Where do you think the future goes with any kind of action in Louisiana that pertains to the people on one side and big business on the other?
Hey, look, we need business. You know, I came here in a car that burns gasoline that was probably produced and refined at Exxon. We understand the importance to the industry until somebody come up with something different. But that does not give them the right to leave our coast and leave abandoned wells and to use process and procedures through the legislature that get them to avoid their responsibility for cleaning up after themselves. Nor does it give them the right to release chemicals into the air or to use our drinking water as opposed to using river water. We're just a skeleton organization pulling together environmental groups. We don't have lawyers. We don't take people to court. And it costs nothing to judge. It's about ideas. I think we've had a difference. We got Mossville. We got the people in St. Tammany that's putting up a great fight, and the citizens there are doing that themselves, and we support them. We got many issues, and much of it is around pollution in Louisiana. In spite of what Senator Attlee say, this industry has had its way, and they still run this state. Their flag fly over the Capitol. When we were in there arguing for things like clean air monitoring, who was next to us? Big-time lobbyists and lawyers they brought in from all over the United States. They said, we don't need that. Then the DEQ guy come behind us and said, we don't need air monitoring. We're doing enough. Mm-hmm. This is, we're not like Arkansas. Between Baton Rouge, Lafayette, and New Orleans, we got over 100 chemical plants. We need to have 21st century monitoring system. This legislator, they laughed at us almost, led by folks like Senator Dove. They almost laughed us out the legislature, thinking that we would improve and bring modernization to how we monitor these plants. That's the disheartening part of watching how they have hijacked our democracy through big money. They spent a lot of money. Senator Dove has gotten over $500,000 in the last 4 years from oil and gas industry.
All right.
That list has been published.
Jamie on Burbank. Jamie, good morning. You're on the air with Russell Honore.
Yes, sir. My name is Jamie Coleman, and this is a wonderful forum for these issues, and you're presenting both sides of it, and I'm learning a lot, and I hope the citizens of Baton Rouge are learning a lot. But the irony is that Mr. General Honore's nephew, Brent Honore, is a landlord polluting 7272 Burbank near Lakeside Daiquiris.
All right. You want to bite on that one?
Well, again, one of the downsides we have in this state is that we don't enforce pollution laws. I don't know what he's talking about, but the lake next to the Capitol is polluted. It surrounds the Capitol and is next to the governor's mansion. The legislators of this state has allowed that to happen. Our governor, repeated governors, have allowed this to happen. What message did that send to our children? When the state capitol lake, the company that poisoned it, Westinghouse, was allowed to leave the state, nothing done. DEQ, DNR, none of them have done anything. That lake still remained polluted today, and it's supervised by state government who hadn't acted. We tried to talk about it in the legislature, got blown off, particularly blown off as not an issue. At the same time, we're talking about pollution. The people of Louisiana need to have a voice, and we need to look at who we're electing to offices and where they stand on fighting pollution. I'm not talking about climate change, not talking about anything. We're talking about pollution. If we don't do something, go talk to the crawfishermen in the Chaffalai Basin. They'll tell you what the impact that this industry is having on our crawfish and on our culture.
All right, John in Lafayette, you're on the air with General Russell Honore.
Yes, good morning, General and Jim. General, I have quite a bit of respect for you. You're the first non-politician in my lifetime, and I'm in my eighth decade, that has really spoken out on these issues. I wish we had more people like you, and I certainly will encourage you to continue. And I think the more you go with this, the more people you will get in to join your army. My question is this. The oil companies, do they admit that they did any damage to the marsh? And if so, are they willing to pay anything to repair that damage?
So we've had many quotes from reports and comments from Mid-Continental Oil, and that's the big oil companies, that say, yes, we've had some appreciable impact on that, and that's been confirmed by studies out of such esteemed institution as LSU, that they've had an impact. The question is, how do you turn that to a resolve, and you got to go to court? We go to court in Louisiana. You know, the governor and the team over at the legislature keep talking about we're an over-litigated state. The reason we go to court so much is because our state laws, they're weak, thin, and then the ones we have, we don't enforce. I just put in front of you, Jim, that map with 6,000 abandoned oil wells comes out of DNR. They know the abandoned oil wells there. The list of companies that left the oil wells is attached to it. The big oil companies that sold these things to small LLCs who since gone out of business. Now the people of Louisiana left holding the bag.
297-5633, a fired up General Russell Honore. What was it he said? Don't get stuck on stupid. We'll talk with him some more about what's happening regarding Senate Bill 469 and other matters. We'll also reflect with the General and Nicholas Carioca about D-Day, June 6, 1944, back in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. Jeremy Alford, who covers politics for Law Politics, he says the political stakes are high for both Governor Jindal and Attorney General Caldwell. They've become embroiled in a developing disagreement over the enactment of a bill that would retroactively sink the New Orleans Area Flood Authority lawsuit that was filed against 97 oil and gas companies. While legislative consideration of Senate Bill 469 was put to rest during the session's final days, the controversial debate was reignited by a letter signed by 23 legal experts and professors stating the bill could invalidate not only environmental claims filed by state and local entities, but also claims related to the 2010 BP oil spill. And the list of legal analysts, and we're talking about professors and lawyers, it's now numbering over 80 who claim that this could gut other action pending against BP. So unintended consequences could be a factor, and Governor Jindal says he's got legal authorities who believe that this is nonsense. 297-5633 is your number. Bill on Highland, you're on the air with General Russell Honore. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Jim.
Yes, sir.
I just want to thank
General Honore for his military service and thank him for the service he's continuing to do to the people of Louisiana by speaking up on these issues. And I hope that everyone who appreciates what General Honore did in New Orleans during after Katrina and throughout his career will join in and help by contacting their legislators and speaking up on this matter issue.
Well, thank you, sir, and it's still not too late. We do have a democracy here, and it's never over in a democracy. Call our governor, please, and encourage him to not sign this bill. At the end of the day, he still wins because this thing's got to go to court, and the court will resolve it. So he doesn't lose if he doesn't sign it. He will be able to tell the big oil that he gave it a good run, did what he could, but let the judiciary deal with it, let the judges and the court deal with it, and please ask our governor, don't make us the laughing stock of America, where we will sign a bill that's a retroactive bill, which is almost unheard of in a democracy, put it before the courts, and this will end up in federal court initially and slow up the recovery of our coastline as this BP money starts to flow. It's also going to disrupt the master plan as laid out with the federal government agreed on with state government. This is a disruptive law. I would not be putting here sitting down arguing with our governor and our legislators if this was just a minor event. I put my own reputation on the line and many other people. So thank you.
All right, 297-5633. A few more minutes on this topic with General Russell Honore, who is now the leader of the Green Army. How did this come about?
Bayou Corn. It started at Bayou Corn when the people asked the survivors of Bayou Corn asked me to come help them because they were not getting response from the state and federal government on what was happening to them. Most people in the city and state of Louisiana and the nation know about the Texas brine sinkhole at Bayou Corn. And what we uncovered in those weeks, going to those weekly meetings with the survivors of Bayou Corn, was our government was complicit because they allowed that industry to self-regulate, self-report, and we ended up with people having to be evacuated, not respected by the company, and even today, there's abuse happening to our citizens, and there's no voice at the state capitol that look out for these citizens. And they're on their own trying to resolve this with Texas brine, who still operate the Salt Dome and hadn't paid taxes in Assumption Parish in many a years. And in order for Assumption Parish to find out how much tax they owed, they had to get a Texas company because the state of Louisiana could not tell them what was in the darn Salt Dome.
Clayton in New Iberia. Clayton, you're on the air with General Russell Honore.
Hey, good morning, General. I actually used to fly you around. I was with the JRTC Flight Detachment at Fort Polk a few years back. So I just wanted to say hi, and thanks again for all you did for us, and also flew around for Hurricane Katrina. Did some work out in New Orleans during that time as well with you. But I just wanted to say, I appreciate the voice in that you're bringing out and taking care of our resources here in Louisiana, which is, of course, our marshes are a huge natural resource. Flying around now, I actually work for an aviation company here in the Gulf of Mexico, and we support the oil and gas industry as well. But over the years, flying with some of the older guys that have seen the impact of what's happened, these guys started flying after Vietnam, and saw the huge impact that is the result of not only the oil and gas industry, but also the government has a role to play in that as well.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your service, and thanks for your voice. Right there in Lake Charles, we got South African Oil putting the largest plant. It will make the Exxon refinery, which is one of the largest in the world, look like a peanut compared to what's they're going in there in Westlake and Mossville. And please use your voice. We can work in the industry and fight pollution. Matter of fact, the best fighters we have are people who from the industry because they know where the pollution is. We've got to find a solution to pollution in Louisiana or that South African oil plant will destroy a Lake Charles air and the water in the Calcasieu River.
Greg in Catahoula. Greg, good morning. You're on the air with...
And Mr. Honore, I really appreciate what you do and you too, Jim, with your issues that you discuss, but I wonder why I want to encourage you someday get somebody on your show who speaks against the possibility of restoring the coastal wetlands and marshlands and wasting millions and millions of dollars on something that cannot be done. I don't think we can negotiate with sea level rise or with the tectonic plates under the Gulf of Mexico moving southward, or with the characteristic of the sediment coming down the Mississippi River that tends to compact under its own weight. These are not things that can be solved with money. But there are many people out there who oppose wasting that money on the restoration of coastal wetlands, and I suggest you have one of them come on your show someday.
Well, what do we do in the near term? Even if you're right, and you're not alone, but even if you're right, do we just shut down South Louisiana and say the party's over? Let's get to Arkansas or Missouri or somewhere where we don't have to worry about this?
Well, I think that's where our education, our institutions. We need LSU. We need University of Southeastern. We need Southwestern. We need our educators to stand up and stop standing behind those grants they get from big oil and get a balanced discussion. All of our issues we've dealt with in this country has been through education and people getting facts. The facts does not change that we got 6,000 abandoned oil wells, many of them in the wetlands. When they're in the wetlands, even if it gets covered by water, if they're leaking water, that oil is going to come on the coast, regardless if it's below Highway 14 or on the steps of New Orleans. We've got to stop that oil leak and maintain those old abandoned oil wells out there that are polluting our coastline, regardless where it ends up. At the end of the day, we've got to find a solution to this pollution.
All right. As you can imagine, General, this happens every time. I've gotten some inquiries about whether or not you would be interested in running for governor.
Well, I know my limits, and I don't think that's my space, but that door is open for many capable people who need to step up, because we do need to prepare for this next election. We hope that the people of Louisiana will ask some tough questions. Say, where are you on closing the abandoned oil wells? Where are you on fixing the coast as best as we can? As the previous caller said, are we doing the right thing? And that becomes an elected issue. And where are we on providing monitors for these plants that are putting pollution in the air, but exception and exemptions written by DEQ and DNR, whose main job has always been to protect the oil and gas industry and the plants? We've got to fix that if we don't, so we don't lose our state. And we've already evacuated Mossville.
So
we've evacuated Biacorn since I moved here. That's two communities we've lost to oil and gas and to their callous work in allowing pollution to be released.
So any chance you'll get in the race?
I'm working hard on pollution. We've got to have a prosperity without pollution, and fixing these abandoned oil wells and cleaning up the mess that's been created over the last 70 years. And, oh, by the way, the people of Louisiana, we're still the second poorest state and we're the third largest energy producer.
Mm-hmm.
Where is Mr. Adley and our governor on holding these companies for sharing that wealth with the people of Louisiana? They've got a lot of money to go to court because they have extracted the wealth of this nation to feed the oil and chemicals to this nation and to the world and the people of Louisiana. Do we have the best schools? No. Do we have the best health care? No. Do we have the best roads? No. Where is the money going? Where is the money going?
Well, that doesn't sound like a no. Another question, and I think you've addressed this before, but maybe things have changed. Do you belong to either of the two major parties?
No.
You're an independent.
Nothing. I vote and pay taxes quarterly.
Yeah, but you're not a Democrat and you're not a Republican.
We've got a major problem, and it started at the national level. Both our senators are big oil proponents. I don't think you can win an election in this state without snugging up to big oil, and I refuse to do that. I want to buy their gas. I want to use their oil, but I want their gas in my tank and the oil in my engine and not in the bayous. And until they step up and do their corporate responsibility and admit that they've got to clean this thing up and be a part of the solution, they'll end up in court. Today, they'll end up in court tomorrow, but I can tell you this. We got less clean water in Louisiana than we had today than we had yesterday, and we'll have less clean water tomorrow than we have today because of this industry. Is it having an impact on jobs? Yes. But if terrorists came and said they would create jobs, would we let them in? We've got to control this oil and gas industry, or this state and our culture will change.
All right. On another topic, today Cal Thomas writes, the American Council of Trustees and Alumni has released the results of a survey finding only 54% of the United States populace knows who General Dwight D. Eisenhower was and that he was the supreme commander of the Allied forces on D-Day. Fewer than half know that Franklin Roosevelt was president. Only 15% can identify the location of the landing as Utah or Omaha Beach, and more respondents say Pearl Harbor than either of those. And only 1 in 10 college students got the right answer. So obviously D-Day is a big part of our history. It's only 70 years ago, and we've got General Honoré, who was born a few years after that, and joining us in studio is Nicolas Carioc, who was in France on this day as a French citizen. He later came to the United States and served honorably in the U.S. Army, as did General Honoré, of course. Unlike General Honoré, Nicolas Carioc was a private first class. But on this date, 70 years ago, you were a young lad of 14 years old. Do you recall D-Day at all?
I certainly recall it extremely well. It was a very big change, a sudden change in our life. Because one of the things that about 3 days before the Americans came to Paris, the Germans had left. So for 3 days, we had a complete lawlessness situation in Paris. And when all of a sudden the Americans came, actually it was the French-speaking people that came to Paris first. The whole Paris just was elated. It was almost chaos. The soldiers would feed us with. Remember that for 3 days we didn't have anything, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden we see these American trucks full of cans, chewing gum. So we were absolutely elated. I hear that some many American GIs. Just became AWOL for 3 days. They just disappeared because the French had received them with open arms.
How was Hitler viewed by the people in France? What was the perception about Adolf Hitler early on, and by 1944, had that opinion been altered in any way?
Well, traditionally, France has always been against Germany. So Hitler was not very popular in any respect. During the occupation, some French were supporting the Hitler system, and I would say the majority did not.
So the United States invasion was welcome.
It certainly was welcome. It was a big change. And one of the big reasons was not political, but was just practical, because we had very little to eat.
And you ended up becoming a United States citizen and were in the U.S. Armed Forces and did not even know how to speak English.
That's exactly correct. I couldn't speak English. However, I had five languages. I could speak five languages fluently. So instead of keeping me in a regular army, I was in a special group called Psychological Warfare, where the majority of people spoke foreign languages.
But when a drill sergeant was barking at you, did you know what he was saying?
Well, after one day, I knew more or less the commands. And then another trick would be to be a split second late. So you just wait what the other people are doing, and you do the same thing.
All right. Well, General Honoré, you're a student of history. I know you're big on George Washington, who was long before D-Day, mm-hmm. but Dwight Eisenhower, who was, I think, a great president, and as it turned out, he made the right call on this date 70 years ago with a lot of people saying, don't do it, the weather's too bad. He said, I'm going to do it, and if it goes south, I'm to blame, and I'm solely to blame. There aren't many Americans today who would stand tall like that.
Well, that greatest generation, led by General Eisenhower and Mr. Carioc sitting here today, showed us what courage meant. Courage under fire. 9,000 warriors lost their lives that day in this what has been called the longest day. And we should pay tribute to them And we must tell this story to our children and make sure they understand that the real sacrifice that has been made to keep this nation free and to get Europe to be free mm-hmm. from that tyrant that was ruling it.
All right.
So to that sacrifice, thank you. And learn and read something about D-Day and what that
good
war
good way to end it. Leo Honeycutt says, I was with President Reagan on the 40th anniversary at Normandy and remembers President Reagan saying we're standing on their shoulders. And Leo, as we part, says, are you going to write your biography?
Tell him, give me a call.
Maybe that'll be the authorized biography of General Russell Honoré.
Let's talk,
okay.
Leo.
All right.
Give me a call. Have your people call mine.
Stay tuned.
Podcasts of The Jim Engster Show are available at WRKF.org. The Jim Engster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.